yam pravrajanta manopeta mupeta krityam dvaipayana virahakatara juhava putreti tanmayatayo taravo binedus tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. So we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter number 32, Entanglement in Fruitive Activities, Text 26. Jnanamatram Param Brahma Paramatma Ishvara Human Drishyadibhi Prithak Bhavai Bhagavan Eka Iyate Jnanamatram Param Brahma Paramatmeshvara Puman Drishyadibhih Prithak Bhavair Bhagavan Ekayate Jnanamatram Param Brahma Paramatmeshvarah Puman Drishyadibhih Prithak Bhavair Bhagavan Ekayate Jnanamatram Param Brahma Paramatmeshvarah Puman Drishyadibhih Prithak Bhavair Bhagavan Ekayate. Next, please. Jnanam, knowledge. Matram, only. Param, transcendental. Brahma, Brahman. Paramatma, Paramatma. Ishvaraha, the controller. Puman, super soul. Drishi Adibi, by philosophical research and other processes. Prithak Bhavai, according to different processes of understanding. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekaha, alone. Iyate, is perceived. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, alone, is complete transcendental knowledge. But according to different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha Avatara. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The word Drishyadibhih is significant. According to Jiva Goswami, Drishi means Jnana, philosophical research. By different processes of philosophical research and the different concepts, such as the process of Jnana Yoga, the same Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is understood as impersonal Brahman. Similarly, by the eightfold yoga system, he appears as Paramatma, but in pure Krishna consciousness, on knowledge of purity. When one tries to understand the absolute truth, one realizes him as the Supreme Person. The transcendence is realized simply on the basis of knowledge. The words used here, Paramatmeshvara, Puman, are all transcendental and they refer to Supersoul. Supersoul is also described as Purusha, but the word Bhagavan directly refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. He is the Personality of Godhead in different spiritual skies. The various descriptions of Paramatma, Ishvara, and Puman indicate that the expansions of the Supreme Godhead are unlimited. Ultimately, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept Bhakti Yoga. By executing Jnana Yoga or Dhyana Yoga, one has eventually to approach Bhakti Yoga platform, and then Paramatma, Ishvara, Puman, etc. are all clearly understood. It is recommended in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that whether one is a devotee or fruitive actor or liberationalist, if he is intelligent enough, he should engage himself with soul seriousness in the process of devotional service. It is also explained that whatever one desires, which is obtainable by fruitive activity, even if one wants to be elevated to higher planets, can be achieved simply by execution of devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is full of six opulences, he can bestow any one of them upon the worshipper. The One Supreme Personality of Godhead reveals himself to different thinkers as the Supreme Person or impersonal Brahman or Paramatma. Impersonal is merged into the impersonal Brahman, but that is not achieved by worshipping the impersonal Brahman. If one takes to devotional service and at the same time desires to merge into the existence of the Supreme Lord, he can achieve that. If someone desires at all to merge into the existence of the Supreme, he has to execute devotional service. The devotee can see the Supreme Lord face to face, but jnanis, an empiric philosopher or yogi, cannot. They cannot be elevated to the positions of the associates of the Lord. There is no evidence in the scriptures stating that by cultivating knowledge or worshipping the impersonal Brahman, one can become a personal associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nor by executing the yogic principles can one become an associate of the Supreme Godhead. Impersonal Brahman, being formless, is described as adrishya because the impersonal effulgence of Brahmajyoti covers the face of the Supreme Lord. Some yogis see the four-handed Vishnu sitting within the heart, and therefore, in their case, also the Supreme Lord is invisible. Only for the devotees of the Lord is the Lord visible. Here the statement Drishyadibhih is significant, since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is both visible and invisible. There are different features of the Lord. The Paramatma feature and Brahman feature are invisible, but the Bhagavan feature is visible. In the Vishnu Purana, this fact is very nicely explained. The universal form of the Lord and the formless Brahman, effulgence of the Lord being invisible, are inferior features. The concept of the universal form is material, and the concept of impersonal Brahman is spiritual, but the highest spiritual understanding is the Personality of Godhead. The Vishnu Purana states, Vishnur Brahma Svarupena Svayameva Vyavastitaha. Brahman's real feature is Vishnu, or the Supreme Brahman is Vishnu. Vishnur Brahma Svarupina Svayam Eva Vyavastita. Svayam Eva, that is the personal, is his personal future, feature. The supreme spiritual conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Yad Gatvana Nivartate Tad Dhamma Paramam Mamam. That specific abode called Paramam Mama is the place from which Once one attains it, one does not return to this miserable conditioned life. Every place, every space, and everything belongs to Vishnu. But where he personally lives is Tad Brahma Paramam, his supreme abode. One has to make one's destination the supreme abode of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jnanamatram Param Brahma Paramatmeshvara Puman Drishyadivih Prithak Bhavai Bhagavan Eka Iyate. The Supreme Personality of Godhead alone is complete transcendental knowledge, but according to the different processes of understanding, he appears differently, either as impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma, or as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or as the Purusha Avatar. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajano Lambita Pujaukana Kavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaroka Maladakshu Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Pala Vande Jagat Priya Karo Karana Avataro Yantah Pravishyamam Vachimimam Prasuptam Sanjeevayate Kila Shakti Daraksvadam Nanyam Shahasta Charana Shravanat Vagadim Pranan Namo Bhagavate Purushaya Tubhyam. So we continue reading the teachings of Lord Kapila to his mother. And in this particular chapter, he describes the destiny of fruitive workers. It is not without a reason that Prabhupada stresses at the very end of the purport that only by reaching the abode of the Lord, one never comes back to this material world. Yad gatvana nivartate taddhama paramam mama. This is the statement of Krishna from the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where he says that only reaching my abode or getting the permanent position in my planet, my personal planet, one is exempt from coming back to this miserable condition of life. Sometimes we don't really understand how miserable it is to live. And this particular chapter is a warning for all of us that if we have inclination or attachment to karma, to fruitive activities, for sure we will come back to this world. And what it means, we have to really clearly understand what it means. It means that for 9 months, if we are lucky, for 9 months, we will be in the womb of a mother. If we are not so lucky, we will be less time in an inferior womb, which is not so nice. You know, just imagine, for 9 months you have to sit in a womb where it is pitch dark and it's very hot. And the mother eats some nice spicy food with a lot of chili. And you're scorching there. Anyway, this whole third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is describing this again and again and again. You know, you come here from the womb of the mother, you're born, you're going to school, okay. If you want to be in the womb of mother, fine. Do you want to go to school again? Please tell me. You want to go to college again, and then to work again, and then to die again. Who wants it? Who really wants it? But Lord Kapiladev, he's very clear about it. He says, if you are attached to the fruitive activities, and who is not? If you attach to this conception, I have achieved this. I have done this. Ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. Krishna says in the 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita that if one is very much attached to this I concept, I, look at me, look how great I am. He says, bewildered by this, he says, I have done this. I have achieved this. So all these warnings are not only to those people who are just foolish enough not to be engaged in devotional service. Even in devotional service, we can keep this ahankara. Ultimately, the definition of devotional service, you give up ahankara. You give up this false pride. I have done this. I am such a great devotee. I am this, I am that. So in this chapter, in this particular chapter, Lord Kapiladev explains that if you keep this concept, and this very word concept is very important here. It is explained in this particular verse. I will go a little later about this explained. But if you keep this concept, I am important. I am the center of all creation. Then you will come back. Because this is the only place, this miserable world is the only place where you can realize this I-ness. Your separate, proud existence. Existence outside of the existence of the Lord. You know, the very cause of our material existence is this concept. I want to be separate. I want to show everyone how great I am. I want to prove to everyone, I want to prove the whole world that I am great, I am special. I am very, very special. I am especially fallen. I am especially beautiful. Or I am especially this, especially that. Until and unless you keep this faulty concept, this stinking concept, you will come back again and again and again and again to realize it, to get frustrated, but at the same time keeping some hope that by this means you will become happy. This is the mistake. This is the mistake. We think that this is the way to be happy, to feel ourselves special. You know, my wife is special, my children are special. Who among the householders doesn't think that their children is very special? You know, it's so cute. You know, there are so many children running around and they're all the same. You know, but my children are special. My wife is special. My work is special. My achievements are special. This my comes from I. And if we keep this, if we really attach to this, if we really hold, we don't want to let it go, our independence, then we will come back again and again and again. And that's why this particular chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam is called Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. Lord Kapiladev explains that there are two kinds of people who are entangled in fruitive activities. One kind of people, he's Nishkam. One kind of persons, he may be very highly elevated, he is Nishkam, he will come back. Even if he is Nishkam, still he is holding to this conception, I. What to speak about those persons who are Sakam, even if they perfectly follow the Vedic path. It's interesting because in this chapter, Lord Kapiladev explains those people who are very perfect and meticulous in their performance of Vedic duties. They perform all kinds of samskaras. They purify their existence again and again and again. From the very first samskara, which is called Garbhadhana samskara, they do all these samskaras, you know, they do it very meticulously. They take their child for the first time outside of the, you know, of the their griha, you know, they go to the temple and they perform this. And, you know, so many samskaras are there. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is explained even then when Krishna, as a little baby, he just leaned over to another side. Initially, when the baby is very small, he just cannot really move. He just laying there. When he was, you know, strong enough to lean to another side, you know, that Nanda Maharaj performed great samskara there. Great festival, you know, celebration, mantras. Ooh, my little baby leaned over. So it is explained here, even if you do it everything perfectly, you employ perfect brahmanas, they chant perfect mantras, and you do all the rituals, and you do everything, and you perform all the ceremonies, and you give out food, and you give donations. What is the result of it? After the glorious Antyashti Samskara, when your glorious body is burned in a smashing, in a place where the bodies are burned, you will come back again to do the same things again. And then again, and then again, and again. And what is the use? What is the result? No result. Just suffering. You're getting born, you die. And therefore, Lord Kapila Dev, to give the alternative, he's not only describing this. Sometimes people say that this Hinduism is such a pessimistic religion. It's just so pessimistic. You know, this other religions, they're so optimistic. You know, and Hinduism is very pessimistic. Hinduism is the most optimistic religion because it gives the real alternative. It gives the real alternative, and this real alternative is given by Kapila Dev in the verse number 22. What we read today is just the continuation of this alternative. He says that there is an alternative to this. There is a way out to this, and there is only one way out. Sometimes people say there are so many ways, you know, just take any way, and, you know, yeah, there are so many ways to be in this material world. So many ways. You can be in this world in so many ways and, you know, wander in so many ways and be entangled in so many ways. That's true. There is only one way out. Kalo nastieva, 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 ganiradnadha. There is only one way. There is only one way, and this way is described by Kapila Dev. Tasmat, he says, tasmat, therefore. After describing this problem, he gives the solution, and the word tasmat indicates this solution. Tvam sarva bhavena bhajasva parameshthitam tadgunashraya bhaktya bhajaniya padam bhujam. He says that, therefore, the alternative to this is that sarva bhavena, with all your heart, with all the bhavas which are there, with all the emotional content which is there in the heart. What you should do? You should do bhajasva parameshthitam. You should know that there is a supreme object of worship, bhajasva parameshthitam, and tadgunashrayaya bhaktya. You have to take bhakti by accepting shelter of the gunas of the Supreme Lord. What is bhakti? Bhakti means devotion or love. And you can only love somebody if you know what qualities he have. How the love appears? Love appears in a very simple way. You see somebody and you see some qualities which attract you. Can you love somebody who doesn't have any qualities? Yeah, he doesn't. I love him. What does it mean? Bhakti means, the very word bhakti, devotion means you get attraction. To what attraction? Attraction to the qualities. You know, you see somebody who is very beautiful and you say, oh, my goodness, he's, or maybe she's so beautiful.
beautiful. She must be Srimati Radharani herself. You see somebody, and or you see somebody who is very kind, or somebody who is very renounced. If you see somebody who is very renounced, your mind get attracted to this person. You see somebody and you know you are not very renounced. You're very attached. And you see somebody and you get attracted. And attraction means bhakti. Attraction means love. Attraction means you want to do something for this person. So, therefore, it is very important verse in this chapter, 22nd verse, where Lord Kapiladev explains the alternative. He says, Tad gunashrayaya bhaktya, by taking shelter of his qualities of the Supreme Lord, bhajaniya padam bhujam, you worship the his lotus feet, which are bhajaniya, worthy of worship. Lotus feet of the Lord, they are so beautiful that they are the object of worship. And he says, this is the alternative. If you want to get rid of this attachment to the supreme, to this material world, to this miserable condition, which has only one attractive qualities for us, this concept of my uniqueness, my independence. If you want to get rid of this, there is only one way to do it, is to see somebody who is really worthy of worship, who is really so beautiful and so kind and so renounced and so glorious and so knowledgeable. You have to really again and again hear about him. The process of bhakti is very simple. We have to hear about the Lord. Why it is the process of bhakti? Because this is the only one way in our condition to understand the qualities of the Lord. And when we understand the qualities of the Lord, we'll get the attraction. Now, here, Kapiladev explains that our attraction goes to the qualities of this world. And he says it's like the attraction of the hawks who are very much attracted to very nice, hot and fresh stool. You know, the news of this world. Did you notice how much we're attracted to the news of this world? This internet is just so attractive. So many news, you know. He killed her. And she killed him. Or this or that, you know. This politician said this. And there is this scandal in the parliament, and, you know, Anna Hazari did this, and, you know, what not. You know, we're attracted to this stool, to the qualities of this material world because of some particular features of our tongue. Our tongue somehow or other has particular taste. Tongue means mental tongue. We always taste the qualities of this world. But there is an alternative. Alternative is to hear about the qualities of the Lord. In the third canto, in this very third canto, there is this nice verse, Aho baki yamstana kalakutam, jingam saya payaya dabhya sattvi. Kamva, what is this? Levegatim datruchitam tatonyam, kamva dayalam saranam vrajema. Then Uddhava says, where do you find somebody who is more merciful than my Lord? The horrible witch came to kill him. And she smeared her breast with the poison. She is heinous witch. She came to kill little innocent baby. She wanted to eat him. She smeared his breast with the poison. And what did he do? He said, oh, such a nice lady. Such a beautiful lady. She wants to give me some milk. Let her give me milk eternally in the spiritual sky. Lebhe gatim dhatruchitam. He gave her the position which is equal to dhatri, to his nurse. Lebhe gatim dhatruchitam. tatanyam kam vadayalam sharanam vrajema. The process of bhakti is this. You hear about the Lord again and again and again. And you hear how other devotees who have direct experience, direct anubhav of Him, how they are attracted to Him. And you see their attraction. And you get similar attraction. This is the process of bhakti. And therefore, Lord Kapila Dev says, you know, tasmat tvam sarva bhavina, with all your heart. By listening again and again, taking shelter of His qualities, with all your heart, with all your bhava, you accept Him as the Supreme Lord. And this will be bhakti. This will be perfection. This will be Brahma Darshanam, as he says in the next word, you will get the transcendental experience. Brahma Darshanam, basically, the only way to get rid of this Darshanam of this material world. Darshanam, which is very humiliating. We're so much attracted to the beauty of this world that we cannot get Brahma Darshanam. Krishna himself says that, you know, I'm hiding myself. Yoga Maya Samavrita. I don't show myself. Why? Because you don't want to see me. You just want to see all these politicians in this world. Sonia Gandhi, or I don't know who else is there. Manmohan Singh. Putin. You're just attracted to this. You're not attracted to me. How to get attracted to me? There is only one way. This is this bhakti. Listening about the qualities of the Lord. And he says a very important thing in the next verse. We will come to this verse soon. But first I wanted to explain how Lord Kapiladev explains this. He says this. If you get bhakti. He says, Vasudeva bhakavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha janayatashu varagyam jnanam yat brahma darshanam. He says that if you have love, then jnana and vairagya come on their own. And that's very natural. If you have love to somebody, you know him. And he will open to you. If you come to somebody and you love him, this person will open himself up to you. He will reveal himself to you. If you come to somebody and you don't like this person, and this person will immediately feel this, and he will totally close himself up. You know, if you are in a society or in an association of people who don't like you, how you feel? You feel like, you know, you're closed. So in the same way, you know, Krishna, he is here. But because we don't like him, he's just closed. He doesn't want to reveal himself. He doesn't reveal himself. But if somebody loves you, you just want to say something nice to him, to open, to say something which you would hide from anyone else. Love means knowledge. If you love somebody, this person will reveal himself to you and you will know him for sure. And that's exactly what Kapila Dev says. Vasudevi Bhagavati, if you love Vasudev, the Supreme Lord, and then Janayatashu Varagyam Gyanam Cha, Gyanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. You will get knowledge, you will get renunciation from this world, and you will get Brahma Darshanam. You will get Brahma Darshanam means you will see Brahman, you will see Spirit. You will get experience of Spirit directly. And then he explains exactly what does it mean, how does it manifest, what does it mean to be renounced from this world. And he comes to this particular verse, which is very important. It's actually a very important verse. He explains what Brahma Darshanam means. This particular verse is connected with the verse number 23. Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatashu Vairagyam Jnanam Yad Brahma Darshanam. It is explained there that by bhakti you will get Brahma Darshanam. And Kapiladev specifically doesn't say Bhagavad Darshanam. He says, by bhakti you will get Brahma Darshanam, which basically means you can get any spiritual realization by only one process, which is bhakti. And Srila Prabhupada explains this. Whatever you want, he says, in case you're stupid enough and you want to merge into existence of Brahman, there is only one way to do it, that is to perform bhakti. Not by this jnana process, by realizing this is spirit, this is matter. You know, he says, no hope, no way. You will remain in this material world if you try to employ any other process. The only one process of spiritual realization is bhakti, because bhakti transforms your mind into something transcendental. By bhakti, you concentrate your mind on the transcendental qualities of the Lord, and by concentrating on the transcendental qualities of the Lord, you transform the nature of your mind. Whereas any other processes do not change the nature of your mind. Your mind remains material, and material means it will remain attached to this world. Because the mind has the qualities of matter, it will be attached to matter. But if you somehow or other concentrate or meditate yourself on the qualities of the Supreme Lord, which are transcendental by definition, then your mind will change its position, its quality, its very nature. And by this, you will transcend this mind, which is the main goal of yoga. And by transcending mind, you will achieve the transcendental realization, whatever you want. God will not impose himself upon you. If you don't want to see him, that's fine. He is a gentleman. You know, gentleman doesn't want to, you know, if somebody doesn't want to see you, you know, you will not try to force him to see you. You'll say, that's fine. If you want to merge in my existence, let you be merged. No problem. If you want to see Paramatma, that's the only way. The only way to see Paramatma is bhakti. It is said, it's a very important verse again. It is said that there is only one reality. And this one reality, Bhagavan, Eka Iyate. This one reality is called Bhagavan. Ultimate reality, ultimate truth is only one, that's Bhagavan. But if you don't want to see him, if somehow or other you have a special bhav, and according to the bhav of your heart, you don't want to see Bhagavan. You only want to see him as a controller of this world. Still, there is only one process to see him, that is through bhakti yoga. If you don't want to see Bhagavan, if you don't want to see Paramatma as a controller of this world, still, again, there is only one process. If you only want to see some qualityless energy, you know, like you come to some people, and many people believe in God, right? Most of the people have some concept of God. And most of the people you ask, who is God? They say, oh, God is, he's some energy. Right? Most of the people will give this answer. I remember I spoke with one lady philosopher. She's a philosopher. She's a scholar. She's a philosopher. And she started blasting Krishna, our concept of God. She started saying, this Krishna, it cannot be. God cannot hurt cows. What kind of God it is? You know? What is the strange concept of God? It's like, how you can, you know, it's so, she said, it's so ridiculous. God is herding cows for the rest of eternity. what it is? And I said, can you please explain to me what you think of God? Who is God according to your concept? She said, oh, God is a big mirror. Come to God. It just shows you who you are. But ultimately, this is what explained here as well. Ultimately, most of the people, they have very vague concept of God. He's just some energy. And Lord Kapiladev here, he says, to realize this, it will remain theory. It will remain empty theory in you. If you want to realize that God is energy, there is only one way to realize, is to hear how God is herding cows. There is no other way to realize that God is energy. You have to hear about Him, then somehow or other, you will realize what you want. There is no other way. And it is specifically said, it's a very interesting statement here. Drishyadi bih pritak bavair, Bhagavan ekayate. Bhagavan is one. The ultimate reality is one. Everyone wants to realize this ultimate reality, somehow or other come in contact with this ultimate reality. But according to the different bhavas, pritak bhavai, you will realize him differently. It's a very profound statement, and this is the statement which is confirmed by the modern science. In the modern science, it is by quantum mechanics, it is said that, you know, according to the bhava of the observer, the reality which you see will be different. And it's not your perception of reality. This is something which is very trivial. If we say that the perception of reality is different according to bhava, that's okay, that we can understand. But the most amazing thing is that it's not the perception of reality which is different according to your concept. What is bhava? Bhava is basically your concept in your mind, in your brain. What is said specifically in this verse, if you have specific prithak bhava, specific bhava, specific concept in your brain, reality will be according to the concept of your brain. And that's amazingly enough. This is confirmed by quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics says, according to the brain or the consciousness of the observer, the results of the observed results of the reality will be different. And way before quantum mechanics, Lord Kapiladev said this in this verse. And he didn't get Nobel Prize for this. All these people, they got Nobel Prize, but they're more or less, they're stealers, they're thieves, they're plagiators. they plagiarized this. But Lord Kapiladev says that reality will be different according to the bhava, the concept which you have. If you have the concept that God is energy, you will realize this through the process of bhakti yoga, and the reality will be like this. There will be no other reality. In one sense, what Mayavadis say, it's true. When they say that, you know, whoever says whatever, it's all one, it's all the same, it's all true, you know. That's true. According to this verse, it's true, but we have to understand that according to my concept, I will see reality or realize reality in a specific way, but this will not be the complete understanding. Because the complete understanding is also explained here, Bhagavan Eka Iyate. The complete understanding, when you get rid of all the garbage, all the concepts in your brain, then you will see Bhagavan. When you have some concept, some preconcept, some predisposed notion about God, you will not see God. You will only see something according to your concept. But when you're completely clear of all the concepts, then you will see Bhagavan as He is. And to get rid of all this concept, of all these problems, there is also only one way, bhakti. What Lord Kapila wants to say here again and again and again, he says that whatever process of spiritual realization you may get, whatever, however you want to see God, you can only see Him or realize Him, like it's said here, drishyadi bih. Drishi, you will see him, and Adibih, you will also have some other realizations of God. But there is only one way for this, it's bhakti. But you may see him differently according to your understanding. But if you want to understand him in full, as much full understanding of God as possible, then you have to understand that ultimately he is Bhagavan, having all these qualities, and concentrate completely in his transcendental qualities by reading about him, hearing about him, by describing him, or trying to describe him as much as possible. And this way you will realize him fully. So I just started to explain this verse. Unfortunately, my time is up. But ultimately, this is the main important thing of this verse. And therefore, Prabhupada, he finishes this purport by saying that, you know, this is the complete realization of the world, of God. The whole creation belongs to God, but there is his personal abode, where he reveals himself completely to those who like him, who love him. And he will not reveal himself completely to those who don't like him, because he is the same as us. We don't reveal ourselves completely to those who don't like us. And he says there is this very intimate personal abode, where the Lord manifests his very intimate personal form and very intimate personal qualities. And there he associates with his eternal associates. And to go there, one has to realize that this is the goal of all my endeavors. Prabhupada explains that, you know, by yoga, you cannot go there. By jnana, you cannot go there. By bhakti, you can achieve the goal of jnana. By bhakti, you can achieve the goal of yoga. But by yoga, you cannot achieve the goal of bhakti. You cannot achieve the goal of yoga by yoga. For everything, you have to employ bhakti. But bhakti has its own supreme goal. And its own supreme goal is the supreme abode of the Lord, where he herds cows. Believe it or not. But you will understand this only if you love him. If you don't love him, he will be a mirror. That's fine. He doesn't mind to be a mirror. He can be anything you want him to be. But if you want to achieve the highest goal, this highest goal is Yadgatvam Amnivartante. And this is the only by achieving this goal you will not come back, because you will be completely satisfied. And therefore, Lord Krishna says, Yadgatva nani vartante, taddhama paramam mama. This is the only safe position from which you don't come back. From any other position, from mirror, you will come back. Because for how long you can look at the mirror? Ultimately, you will get bored and you will try to do something else in this material world. From many other situations in the life, you will come back. From this situation, you will never come back. You will become Krishna's cow. And Krishna will milk you for the rest of eternity. Or something like this. Or you will become Krishna's cockroach. You will live as a spiritual cockroach in a spiritual abode of the Lord. But anyway, whatever you are, it's better to be cockroach in the spiritual world than to be emperor in this material world, or even Lord Brahma. It's much better. I don't have realized knowledge, but I heard about this from authorities. So anyway, thank you very much. I don't know if I have...
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you very much for your presentation. Very interesting lecture. So, as you said, that to realize the absolute truth as the energy, one has to hear how the Lord is telling cows.
Yes.
So, how is it? Because he doesn't want to realize, he doesn't like, and you said that he has to perform.
See, I was little exaggerating this point to stress this point, but ultimately God has unlimited qualities. And bhakti means you hear about these unlimited qualities, and of course if you don't have likings to the personal qualities of the Lord, you will have inclination to listen about some other qualities of Him. Like also Krishna explains about Himself, He says that in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, He explains, you know, out of the mountains I'm Himalaya, and out of the aquatics I'm Makar, a special, you know. So if you have the understanding of God as energy or as some, you know, you will like to listen about these features of the Lord, about His majestic feature, how He is all-pervading and how He is in anything which you see, you know, this is the spark of His Aishwarya or this and that. So naturally you will relegate to this personal pastimes of the Lord second importance. They will not be important in your mind. Therefore, you will listen about other qualities. But still, by listening about these qualities, you will transform the nature of your mind, which is now attached to this material world, and then you will overcome this material world and achieve the position of this. So, but still it's bhakti. It may not be the bhakti of the highest grade when you listen about these qualities of the Lord, but you're still taking ashraya, taking shelter, tat guna ashrayaya bhaktiya. You know, this is the process, the instrumental case, tat guna ashrayaya bhaktiya. Bhakti is the instrument, is the process. And specifically, tat guna ashraya.
Second question, as you said that this jnana is associated with bhakti, you explained very nicely how one gets jnana from the other. So there is also coming from bhakti.
Yes.
So how is
it? Jnana and vairagya, according to our philosophy, is a very simple byproducts of bhakti, and it is specifically said janayat ashu vairagyam, very soon they will come. Why? Jnana, I explained, vairagya is also comes very natural way, because if you're attracted to the Supreme Lord and you love Him, you lose the attraction to this world. That's it. You know, all this world becomes very stale to you. What is so good about this? It's a rotten place. This place stinks. Everything is just dying here. Everyone is dying. You know, you only get attraction to this world because somehow or other you have Maya in your head, you know. You impose some transcendental qualities on somebody. You see some girl and you say, oh, she's so beautiful, you know. What is so beautiful about her? After a couple of months of marriage, you will understand how beautiful she is. But it will be too late. But it's just illusion. You superimpose the qualities of the Lord into material objects. And in this way you get the illusion. You just mix. But when you know that this is illusion and there is somebody whose effulgence or brilliance is reflected in this world, in whatever beautiful we see is just a reflection of His beauty, then how you will get attracted to this world? How you will you get attracted to the reflection if you have an access to the real object? Vastavam vastu. Never, no way, you know. If somebody, you know, if you have rasagula in front of you, and you have a nice picture of rasagula, will you go for the picture or will you go for rasagula? You know, such a nice picture. You know, what will you choose? Picture? It's very nice picture. No, you will get rasagula. So if you see this world is just a very pale picture of the Lord. And if you know that this is the Lord, for whom you go, then that's how Vairagya appears in this. It's very natural. You get detached from the picture. You're not attracted to the picture anymore, to the shadow reality. So that's what it is.
So Prabhupada, in the same chapter, in verse 33 in the purport, he says that in order to realize the Lord as Brahman, one has to take to jnana, and in order to realize him as Paramatma, one has to take to yoga. In other words, he says that these processes specifically give us this particular understanding as Paramatma or as Brahman. So where does bhakti come?
Bhakti, yes, I understood. Yes, definitely there are specific processes, but as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, he says that, you know, by yoga you cannot really realize this feature. There has to be a mixture of bhakti into this process. It is also specifically explained in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said, Tachradadana munayo jnana vairagya yuktaya pasyant atmani chatmanam bhakti shruta grihitaya. It is specifically with a similar verse about the three features of this tattva. Explained Vadantita Tatva Vidas Tatvam Yajgyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmiti Bhagavaneti Shabyate, that there is only one reality which has the nature of consciousness, and there are three features of this. And in the very next verse, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Tachradadana Munayo, whatever Muni you are, you may be Yogi Muni, you may be Bhakti Muni, or you may be Gyani Muni. Munis, all these wise people, spiritual people who have some spiritual inclinations, they realize that pashyat atmani chatmanam. They can see this atmanam, the spirit, bhaktya shruta grihitaya, by bhakti, which is characterized by listening the scriptures. So specifically, according to our philosophy, the active ingredient in all these processes, whether it's bhakti or jnana or yoga, there are specific processes, but the active ingredient, the ingredient which brings about realization, real seeing of this reality or spirit, is bhakti, which is basically hearing about him. And even in jnana yoga, if you do by the path of jnana yoga, you will listen. And you will listen about the qualities of the spirit, and that's bhakti. You will listen from the scriptures about, you know, the qualities of spirit, and that's bhakti. And you will listen to Upanishads, and Upanishads, they explain jnanam anandam brahma. That what is brahma? Brahma is jnana and ananda. You know, you will listen about this. And if you go through the path of yoga, again you will listen scriptures. Again you will listen how Patanjali Muni explains the qualities of the Paramatma. And, you know, and that's what brings about realization. It's not that breathing exercise brings about realization. Breathing exercise may clear your lungs from some mucus. It will not bring the transcendental realization. Transcendental realization is only coming through hearing, which is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhaktya Shruta Grihitaya. Bhakti is based on hearing. Transcendental reality from the Shastra. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai.